Well, good Thursday to you, and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on K-Radio, brought to you by our fantastic Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Upcoming sports schedule? Well, tomorrow night, we're going to be at Amelia Earhart Stadium as Atchison continues its trek through the season, and Perry LeCompton's going to come to town. Perry, a perennial postseason opponent for a lot of schools. It'll be a 7 o'clock ball game tomorrow here on Care Radio, the Phoenix and the Cause. Then Saturday afternoon, the Ravens are back. Hooray! Benedictine on the road, beginning divisional play. We'll be with them from Fayette, Missouri. Care pregame, 12:45, 1 o'clock kickoff from Fayette, Missouri. Ravens and Eagles. Well, Gus, there were so many things that went on last week. Tons of high school games, and we kid every week about so much offense, so many points. Well, I think we may have hit another high water mark right here. As you look through these scores, and there are some phenomenal numbers, and we'll start with the Meadowlarks since we've got Atchison tomorrow night. No problem. As we were in Topeka for the Phoenix, as we watched them handle the Scots with ease, 64-8, and man, I don't know when I've seen a team playing any better.
We say that, but yet, and we walked away from that game, and we laughed that Coach Smith probably can't have a whole lot of things to take away from that game that he didn't like, because, again, that was a game where Atchison just kind of did whatever they wanted. They had five of their first six possessions ended in one-play touchdown drives. They scored on their first eight drives of the game, scored touchdowns. I mean, this was just a all-around great game, including a defensive touchdown on the Eric Smith III scoop and score. I mean, it was just an all-around good game for Atchison. Jaden Carter had four touchdown runs. Trey had three touchdown passes and a run. Eric Smith had a 31-yard scoop and score. Jay-Z Kelly, Jeter Purdy, Zamar Hernandez were your top receivers. But ready for the one thing Coach Smith can take away from this game and say, we can be better?
Let's hear it.
Atchison scored 64 points. A skosh below their season average. They're averaging 64.8 points a game, okay? So .8, you know, you were in the education field there. I round up. A lot of people round down, however you want to take it. But yeah, this is a team that so far this season is averaging 64.8 points a game. And through their first, six games. They've scored 369 points this year. They've only allowed 89, so they're giving up 14.8. They're scoring 64.8, so their average margin of victory is, quick math says, 50?
Yeah.
So
now, I will be a Phoenix offense apologist here. In the second half, they had no time. The clock ran the entire second half. So it's not like you had typical number of possessions, that second half lasted 16 minutes.
But I was just spinning it to fit my narrative,
yeah.
Okay?
Like, it did.
It's all about
it worked.
How you spin it. And so, yeah, for Atchison, though, 64 points, that's a good place to be, and your defense gave up that one touchdown late in the game to get Highland Park away from their goose egg.
In the Meadowlark League, the other games, the only home team to win was Washington, a 48-24 winner over Wyandotte. Then it was the visitors, Eudora over Schlegel, 73-0. Sumner over Kansas City Northeast, and the Missouri team, 41-20. And another blanking as Kip Legacy defeated Harmon, 56-0.
Taking a look now at the Meadowlark Conference standings, Atchison out on top. They have won the league. They're 5-0 in league play. They're 6-0 overall. Highland Park now at 4-1. Washington at 3-1. At 2-3, you're going to find Sumner and Schlegel. Wyandotte and Harmon round out the Meadowlark League.
You turn your focus to the NEKL last week, and we got the high school double dip. We had the Thursday night Phoenix game, and then on Friday night, it was Mar-Hellmont Academy at ACCHS, and because the Tigers looking very, very strong, they came away with a senior night 44-6 win at the expense of the Ravens.
Yeah, so for ACCHS, got into the 40s for the second time this season. They looked good throughout that ball game. The first half, pretty close back and forth, like just right there, right there. ACCHS, Justin Vesser rips off a 50 and then a 53-yard run right before half, like in the last 3 minutes, if you will, like 2:40. Hits those two big touchdowns, and then in the second half, ACCHS was finally able to kind of string some plays together, get a good game going, and, you know, come away with a nice win there. They now move up to 4-2 overall, and 4-1 in league play. Their one loss in league play came to JCN a few weeks ago, 36-0, and so we'll get into how they're doing in district play here in just a minute. St. Mary's was at JCN, and St. Mary's came away with a 34-18 win over JCN. It was Jackson Heights, a 48-12 winner on Troy. You had McClouth over Valley Falls, and then Silver Lake defeated Pleasant Ridge, Mission Valley over Oskaloosa, and Riley County defeated Horton.
Biggest surprise in all of that was probably, I think for fans around here, the fact that JCN came up short at home against, well, a perennial playoff team these years, St. Mary's, a team who has dropped down in district size this year. And so St. Mary's, you know, came into town for JCN, their first loss of the season. So with that, maybe we just go ahead and take a look at season standings and how things are shaking out around some of the districts. And I guess since it's fresh on our mind, maybe we should start with 1A. What do you think?
Yeah, let's just drop down and work from small to big.
All right. So in 1A District 3, St. Mary's now claims the top spot all alone at 3-0 in the district. They're 3-3 overall. You've got Mission Valley, JCN, McClouth, all at 2-1, with Oskaloosa and Valley Falls running it out at 0-3 apiece.
So if you stop and kind of look at it, yes, so clinch the playoff berth right now in that district is going to be St. Mary's because they are 3-0 in that district. Now, this week, St. Mary's will play Mission Valley. The winner of that is going to be the winner of, you know, that district.
Yep, and by the way, we're going to see Mission Valley, not this week, but next week. So we're going to be down there with JCN at Mission Valley, so that should be a peach. Also, you got to look at 1A District 4 because those are the two districts that will pair up against one another. Centralia, man, those guys are good. They're 3-0, 5-1 on the year, 3-0 in district. Jackson Heights is 2-1. Riverside, the newest addition to the conference coming in next year, is 1-1 with Onega and Troy, both at 0-2 right now. So, and we'll be seeing pretty much, you know, Troy also joining the conference, but we don't get to see the Buffaloes much.
It's not a problem.
It's okay with
it's
you?
It's okay.
All right. So anyway, it looks like Centralia is going to win District 4 and a battle between Jackson Heights and Riverside for that second spot, that second, as you call it, playoff berth, you know, in that district.
Jumping up to Class 2A. We'll start in District 3. Silver Lake out on top at 2-0. ACCHS at 2-1. Then you have Rossville at 1-1. Pleasant Ridge at 1-2. And Moore Hill Mount Academy at the bottom of that. Now, you start going off of points. ACCHS technically is second at this point in that district because of the point differential. They have 21. Rossville has 7.
Yeah, and it makes it for a huge game Friday night. ACCHS is going to be playing Jackson Heights this Friday. So that should be a huge game. And the Tigers are going to be on the road out at Jackson Heights for that one. And then for the Tigers, they will wrap up the I guess you call it the 8-game part of the season with a trip then to Silver Lake.
Taking a look at District 4, Nemaha Central. Okay, so Nemaha Central out on top at 2-0 with Sabetha at 2-0. Both of those teams are at 42 points, and they don't play till next week. So they are a 10-20 game. So this week, Nemaha Central is going to be home with Riley County. Riley County right now at third with 1-1, and then you've got Minneapolis at 1-2. Horton is the only team eliminated now from District 4.
So it's going to be – those are some pretty good districts, and we're kind of looking forward to seeing how all this shakes out. Oh, and by the way, while we're just doing this stuff, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that the Atchison Phoenix continue to be one of two undefeated teams in Class 4A and on top of 4A East, with Atchison and Lewisburg the top two teams, a couple of 5-1 teams with Bishop Miege and Chanute, and then a handful of 4-2s and 3-3s in here.
Yeah, so Atchison right now is 6-0 with 71 points. Lewisburg 6-0 with 67 points. Lewisburg is going to finish with Ottawa, who we got to see in week one. Now, Ottawa is playing decent football, right? They lost to Atchison 48-42 in a game where they had to come back late to kind of make that a little closer score. But they're a team who finds themselves at 3-3. They beat a Eudora team 2 weeks ago, 17-14, the same Eudora team that beat Schlegel by 73. So, again, Ottawa is a decent team, and then they're going to finish their regular season with Spring Hill. Now, Spring Hill is a team who's 5-1, and their only loss this season came to Blue Valley Southwest. So, again, a rough schedule still for Lewisburg. So.
And for Atchison, if you're saying, okay, what do they got coming up yet? We will be with them, of course, as they're going to be at home this week with Perry, and then they're going to wrap it up again with the home game, because they started off their season on the road a lot. And so they're going to end up with the last two regular games at home, and then the second week after this, week after tomorrow, going to be Wyandotte.
So if you were just going to crystal ball this thing and finish out, like, season ends today, Atchison would get Bonner.
Atchison would get Bonner Springs at home. Yes.
So
Bonner, the 0-6 team at a minus 12.3 point differential. They're not getting out of that cellar.
Yeah, so you also laugh and you kind of turn back around and you talk about a team that's towards the bottom of the heap right now, St. James. Right now, if the season were to end, St. James would get Bishop Miege. So
what a first-round matchup, huh? So there you have it. Lots of games coming up on Care Radio. Go to msccsports.net. Check the schedule page, you know, and not only tune into the games that you'll be able to hear on the family stations, but also, of course, we encourage you to go out, support your teams, follow your club, cheer them on. Can you believe we're down to the last three games of the high school regular season? Incredible. We're taking a break. We're coming back. Football talk will continue. We're going to talk about college ball when we return here on Sports Talk. Here we go, Sports Look, continuing on Care Radio. And Gus, we have to talk now about the Benedictine Ravens, who, along with almost the entire conference, had a week off last week, as it was the bye week between the divisional and non-divisional play and the scheduling. However, the Raven upcoming opponent did not have a week off.
Yeah, you know, Central Methodist went to Illinois and played Olivet Nazarene. And Olivet Nazarene came away with a win. But for Central Methodist, somewhat of a close game. It was 34-20, Olivet getting the win there. If you're a Central Methodist fan and you want a silver lining this thing, you want a glass half full it, Central Methodist had not only the offensive player of the week, they had the defensive player of the week, and they had the special teams player of the week in the conference. Might be the first time all season that one team has had all three of the players of the week in the conference. Now, I get it. You were the only team playing, so I was a little actually surprised that they went ahead and awarded those.
Yeah, so with that all said, all the teams, you know, they're going to be as rested, I suppose, as they can possibly be. And, in fact, there's going to be a game tonight.
Yeah, and we can't even make it, right? It's a 6 o'clock game, so it'll be kicking off here just shortly.
Yeah, right. And here's the deal, because right after Sports Look, you know, we love to tune in and listen to the Coach's Insight shows.
Right.
So we can't miss those. So as a result, we're not going to get to go to Des Moines. It's Culver Stockton at Grandview. Let's be honest. For Culver Stockton, this is a tall order.
Yeah, it's not the game of the week that I'm going to circle, right? You know, we always kind of finish out this segment going, are there any games that you just, like, really want to pay attention to watch other than the Benedictine game? And I'm going to tell you, Culver Stockton going to the Duke today to take on Grandview, it's not going to be one of those games. I mean, what's the spread on a game like that? 48?
Yeah.
I mean, yes. Grandview's been playing really good football. We're going to talk about them here in a second, about how high they are in the national
48
polls,
with an over-under of 55.
Maybe. Okay, real quick, because we've got a few minutes to talk about this.
Uh-huh.
Grandview's going to be one of those teams we don't see this year because of the
it's going to be the team,
the scheduling and how things worked out this year. You want to see them, don't you?
Absolutely.
Right? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just a me thing, but I'm sitting there and I'm going, how good are they? Because we start looking at the scores and comparing them up and down. Now, you can't compare them to anybody BC's played because, again, nobody's played divisional games. So you're going to start to see how you compare those scores. But for Grandview, they're one of those teams that I sit back and I'm like, they're highly ranked in the national poll. That's really just because you started high, and as long as you don't lose, you're not going anywhere. But I want to know how good they are.
Yeah, and we're going to digress. We got to get back to the schedule, but let's talk about you threw out the national poll. You kicked that door open, okay? So, for Benedictine...
You want to go here now?
Yeah, right now.
Go down that highway.
Let's just you threw it open when you said national poll. For Benedictine, guess, their best week in the poll was the week they didn't play.
Yeah, so what? They won by like 60 a couple weeks ago. They dropped a spot.
Fell a spot.
They win by like 50-something the week before. They fall a spot. They win by 3 at Penn. You gain a spot. You didn't play last weekend, and Benedictine jumps up, what?
Two more.
Three.
Three spots, yeah.
Yeah, so you went from 21 all the way to 18, and you didn't play. So, again... You win by 60, you fall a spot, you win by 3, you gain a spot. You don't play at all, you gain 3 spots. So,
and for Benedictine, I mean, again, this is a very candid show. We're not sugarcoating anything. The teams that the Ravens will play during the course of this divisional play, they're two pretty good ones with Baker and Mid-America. In fact, Mid-America getting a little love in the national poll. But that said, there are no teams that you're going to beat in jump 3 or 4 spots, okay? You are depending on teams above you to take a bump. I mean, otherwise, there's nowhere to go.
There are 10 teams right now in the top 25 that are undefeated, okay?
That is remarkable, by the way, over halfway through the year.
Yeah. So you look at it, the top 7 are undefeated. Of those 7, something's got to happen to Indiana Wesleyan and Marion probably still have to play each other
because
they're going
to
be conference teams. So one of those teams will lose. Concordia, Michigan has to play Marion, Indiana, and probably Indiana Wesleyan, so they're going to lose somewhere. At some point, Evangel, who is 15, is going to have to play number 6, Southwestern. Okay, I've actually looked into that. It's like the second-to-last game. Do you realize that Evangel did this when they were in the heart? They would have a really good season, then lose like to Benedictine or Baker in the second-to-last game, and then lose to the other one the last game, and always fall out of the polls?
That's what they did every year.
They've got a real shot of doing that again this year because they're going to play Southwestern like the second-to-last game. So that's one of those teams to watch. And then one team that I know nothing about and didn't even know that it was a school is Louisiana Christian.
Okay.
Jumps in at number 25 right now. They are 6-0, and I think they're a team.
If you're them, are you saying, where's the love?
Yeah.
I'm 6-0, and you just get in the poll?
Yeah, and I think, again, it's name recognition, right? Like you
sure.
Stop and listen to... I'll just go over the top 5 teams, okay? Northwestern Iowa, Grandview, Morningside, Indiana Wesleyan, Marion.
Okay, and that group includes the national champion from the last 15 years.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. Everyone. Yeah. Is one of those 5 teams.
I mean, you jump down a little further, you got at number 7, undefeated Carroll, Montana.
See,
right?
And now you go back to the top, you know, to the national champions for the last 20 years.
Yeah. You look at 14 and you find Georgetown, Kentucky. Now, Georgetown, Kentucky is a problem for me, okay? They would go down every week if I were a voter when it came to the top 25, right? And this is an argument I have every year when we're talking about All-Americans. Georgetown has played 4 games.
Uh-huh.
They are 3-1. Like, people will say, okay, Joe Jones, the running back for this team, averaged 125 yards rushing a game. I said, okay. But he played in 6 games, you know? I mean, it holds less water because you're not playing as many games. It's like what Baker used to do back in the 90s, right?
Right.
Played
8
minimum games.
8
you
games,
have to
that's
play
all you had to play.
Because there are fewer chances to lose. Benedictine had that opportunity this year. They didn't have to schedule up Morningside in week 1 or week 0. They
right.
did. And so, anyway, for me, that's my soapbox for the minute.
All right, well, so... The long and short is the national polls are out. They are clearly a work in progress. There's going to be some bouncing around yet, though, because, as you mentioned, some of those teams are not going to win. And for the Ravens, I will guarantee you ask Coach Osborne or anybody up on that staff, they're going to say, I can't do anything about it. We got to take care of Bennett.
That's what's got to be a little frustrating is there's nothing you can do other than just keep winning. And when you started off the season, 1-2 going into, after week three, you were sitting there and you're going, it's not where you want to be. But you have to keep looking forward that 1-2 doesn't sound great, but 9-2 does.
9-2 sounds great.
9-2 sounds like you're okay.
9-2 puts you in the postseason, and at that point, you just take them as they come.
You roll the dice at that point because, again, the ball starts bouncing your way. All of a sudden, it's a good place to be.
And next Saturday, by the way, other teams going on around the conference besides the game tonight with Culver at Grandview. William Penn, the team we saw last a couple of weeks ago, will have a chance at a W. They're going to go up the street a little bit and play at Clark. You're going to have Mid-America Baker. That will be the game to watch in the conference we talk about. You're going to watch one. That's the one that will draw a lot of attention. Grayson at Peru, no one is going to care. Those are all 1 o'clock games. And then there is a 2 o'clock game as Missouri Valley has homecoming. They'll break out the Model A and the Cannon, and they'll entertain Missouri Baptist.
Yeah, they should win that, right? And that's a 2 o'clock game, which is kind of a weird one. You're going to be able to maybe help me with this. Baker is home with Mid-America.
Correct.
At Liston Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Don? Don Parker Field? Do you know Don?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I know Don.
I didn't know if we're talking donor, we're talking former coach, we're talking
and
what.
Don't know Don.
Anyway, but yep, we'll be over in Fayette, Ravens and Central Methodist. It's October.
It's go time.
It is.
Is it moving month?
For
football?
I don't know exactly what we'll have to call. We'll have to ask Coach Moody, what should we call October? Because it's not moving month, but, definitely going to have to kick it in gear right now.
That said, we're going to kick it in gear. We'll be back. More Sports Look right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look. Don't forget to stick around. After Sports Look, Coach's Inside Shows coming up on CARE Radio. And Gus, we have not really been able to talk much about basketball, college basketball, and it's got to get on our radar a little bit because they start in a couple of weeks. I mean, in October, Benedictine will be playing real games.
Mount Mercy women play on Sunday. Next Friday, Missouri Valley women are going to get started with North Central Missouri. I mean, we're here. Like, it is time to start talking about basketball. And a couple days ago, they did the preseason coaches poll. And sometimes I look at the preseason coaches poll, and we always laugh, right? Because you tell coach, here's the poll. Do we even need to play the season, right? Because
this is it.
But they're always fun to come back and look at the end of the season. Sometimes when I look at these polls, I wonder if, like, Cohen or Romy maybe just like grabbed a pen and started putting numbers next to a team because sometimes they don't make sense to me.
You could ask one of those little darlings, hey, which uniform do you like best?
And that's like
you do for the bowl games, right?
Yes.
Well, the Heart of America Athletic Conference announced a 23-24 preseason poll just a couple of days ago, and defending Heart champion Central Methodist, no surprise, picked to finish first this year.
Throw the poll away because this may be the worst thing I've ever seen. How does Central Methodist become the number one team in the conference? I get it. They're going to reload and they're going to bring teams back. But the number two team in the preseason poll is the defending national champion.
You talk about getting no respect. They're the Rodney Dangerfield of the conference.
I'm telling you, like, I get it. Clark brings absolutely nothing to the conference other than this one national championship in women's basketball. But
that's still something.
It's something, right? If you're Clark, how do you, like, you automatically start one, right? And then when you hand out the poll, you say, okay, just vote on two through however many teams we're going to have in basketball. It's weird that basketball has a different number of teams than football does now. And so conferences are maybe becoming a thing of the past. But right now, Clark is going to be in second with only 127 points compared to Central Methodist ladies who had 139.
They're not even in second alone.
Yeah, they're tied for second with Mid-America. So.
Okay, so last year, Central Methodist, 35-1. But the reason the problem, they give them a little extra bump, 22-0 in the conference, got to the national tournament semifinals, but then they failed. Clark won the 22-23 national championship last year, and how do you do it? You don't just backdoor your way in. They defeated the defending national champions, St. Thomas More out of Kentucky, 63-52. Beat them soundly, double-digit win for their first ever national championship. So,
and that St. Thomas team beat Central Methodist pretty decently, too.
So I guess what we're going to take out of this? By the way, we mentioned Central Methodist won, Clark and Mid-America tied for two, followed by Grandview, Culver, and then the Benedictine Lady Ravens picked in the middle of the pack at six. What we take away from this is, pretty good girls' conference this year. Pretty, there's a lot of balance, there's a lot of parity, and there's a lot of good teams to play.
Yeah, I mean, you start...
Does anybody go through this year undefeated? No.
No. I think it was a little surprising maybe that Central Methodist even did it last year. I know they were that much better than everybody, but I was just surprised somebody didn't trip them up. Basketball's a long season, and this year we're going to go into double round robin, right?
Yeah.
You're going to play everybody here and there, which means fewer non-conference games. But I think the couple takeaways I have from looking up and down the preseason polls is Jeanette Brugen has brought Culver Stockton way up, right? Like, every year you would look at the bottom 2-3 for Culver Stockton. Now you find them clipping in at number 5 in the conference, so that shows you she's doing a great job. Also, the team that has worried me for the last 2 years continues to improve, and that's Missouri Valley, right? The Missouri Valley ladies under Ben Lister, who, took Baker to the national title game, he's got them up to 7 in the preseason poll.
Shifting over to the guys' side of the Heart of America Athletic Conference, and Mid-America is selected to be the number one team, according to the 13 coaches. Under first-year head coach last year, Mid-America, 20-10, 15-7 in the conference, got to the national tournament, lost in the first round, but for some reason they get a lot of attention, and I know Adam Hepker, great player. He's an intense guy. He was a good candidate to follow Rocky into that head coaching spot, and now Rocky's back head coaching, but that's another story. Long and short, the Heart is a good conference. Last year, they put 5 teams in the NAI Men's National Championship, and they are going to be a very good conference again this year.
Yeah, you look up and down this. Okay, so where Mid-America comes in first in the Heart Men's Coaches Poll, is that we have a problem coaches-wise with John Henry, and so we're not going to vote for him? Or is it John Henry is going around telling everybody, hey, vote for Mid-America.
Don't vote for me.
And he probably put himself down as like 14th in the conference on his, paper.
Can I tell you, he's the kind of guy who does not care what the preseason poll is.
Yeah.
It means nothing to him.
No.
Matter of fact, if that's a little less bulletin board material, better.
And can I tell you, John Henry is the kind of guy who probably doesn't even use this as bulletin board material because I just don't think he probably cares, right? Like, year in and year out, he says, oh, we keep winning this conference, so, until we don't.
Yeah, well, in fact, Penn, not only the defending regular season champion, they were the tournament champions, and if Benedictine,
they
gave
them
such a run. What a great game that was up in Oskaloosa in the postseason tournament last year. But the Statesmen have won 4 straight Heart regular season titles and 4 straight Heart conference tournament championships. So the fact that they are second either tells you that, somebody is really, really good or, there's something cooking here.
Somebody also takes a lot of stock in Baker. Like, I know Baker had a really good year last year. So they're going to start the season at 3, Peru State 4, Central Methodist 5, Benedictine 6, followed by Clark, Graceland, Grandview, Valley at 10, Mount Mercy, Culver, and Park at last in the division. So,
and yet I don't want to go play either of those teams at their place.
No.
They're both really, really good at home, and they're not going to go winless.
I'm going to tell you, Jason Klein is a really good coach, so to put him at 12...
Yeah,
they'll be more middle of the pack than that because I don't have any faith in Grandview or Clark or Mercy or, there are some of these teams that I just look at and I'm like, probably not. So, anyway.
So, again, the conference polls are out. Basketball is soon to get underway. And, for the Benedictine men, first game is going to be Friday, October the 20th, and it is going to be an exhibition game with Missouri Western up in St. Joe.
Isn't that crazy that next Friday, so we're going to have Sports Look on Thursday, and the following day, the Benedictine men will go. The ladies don't start till closer to Halloween. They're going to start on October 30th. They're going to travel down to Leavenworth for one of the nice little road trips, as they're going to be at St. Mary's taking on the Spires.
And then for the BC guys, after the exhibition game, they will start the regular season on Saturday, October the 28th. And they are going to be up in the Nolan, a noon game with McPherson.
Yeah, there's no fear in McPherson.
There's no fear in McPherson.
How about this? The Lady Ravens are going to play. Yeah, okay. So the Lady Ravens are going to play four non-conference games this year.
Mm-hmm.
The men are going to play basically three in an exhibition.
Yeah.
They're going to play McPherson, Haskell, and Concordia. Haskell's turned into a nice little,
yeah,
you know, pickup type game.
And they're good. You know, Cougar does a great job with those guys.
And can I tell you, the break this year is short. I mean, December 19th is your last game before the Christmas break. Then you're back on January 3rd. So, I mean, that's like 10 days. So.
Well, anyway, we love football. We're talking football, but we love basketball, and it is on the horizon. You can see it coming down the tracks. Speaking of which, we're going to take a break. Don't go away. We're going to be right on track with more Sport Look right after this. Here we go. Sports Look continues here on Ken Radio on a Thursday evening. Stick around. Coach's Insights coming up very shortly. And, well, Gus, the Kansas City Chiefs played last week, a thrilling game, a close game, probably closer than anybody thought. Everybody's claiming they cheated the Vikings, but win or lose, Kansas City gets the W, 27-20, and they're playing again tonight.
Yeah, right. A quick turnaround for the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. They're going to get a 7-20 matchup with the Broncos. So again, quick turnaround, but a quick turnaround against a team who's not very good.
No. And so the Kansas City, you would think, would be having no trouble, and even if, you know, three of their mainstays do not get out there. What happened to Tommy Townsend? I mean, how does a punter find himself maybe on the, you know, injured, not playing?
Didn't get on the golf court to get to the locker room. I mean, when you let them walk to the locker room by themselves, you always worry that they might wander down a hallway.
So do you bring in somebody off of your practice team, or do you just like, you know, or do you just have Noah Gray kick the ball?
Yeah, we talk about punters all the time, right? Like, they're the one position. It's cool to have them on their team, usually nice guys, but I don't need to see you play, right? Like, the only thing I need you to do is hold the field goals, and that's only for extra points. But, yeah, so Kansas City going to have to keep an eye out on that. Travis Kelce avoided what looked like could have been a really bad injury. I think a lot of people were worried, and I was one of those people. The way he kind of went down in space.
Okay, this brings us to turf or natural surface. Is turf, and we see all the colleges have now gone to turf. Grass is so passe, and yet the NFL and their players adamant. Don't matter what kind, there are a lot of different kinds of turf, they hate them all.
They hate them all, right? I think that in the NFL, you're going to get away from turf altogether. Colleges are going to probably stick with, let's rephrase that, smaller colleges are going to stick with turf. But your Power 5 schools, I think, will probably all go to grass again because, again, it's better on those athletes. And especially when you're talking about athletes with now NIL deals and millions of dollars, and the last thing you want to see is those guys get hurt, you know, when they shouldn't. And so, yeah, I think that it's going to be one of those things where turf is just going to be a thing of the past.
And for fans, do not think that all turfs are the same. Some are faster, some are slower, and even the same exact brand and style of turf on two different fields can be made to play very differently depending on the number of granules and how much of that chaff that they put down in the fibers. I mean, fields are different. There is a home field advantage.
Yeah, and can I tell you, I never liked playing on turf, right? Like, when I was in Benedictine, we got the turf like halfway through, you know, I think right after my sophomore year. And even after that, I just still preferred playing on grass.
Because you're putting the cushion with
it. Yeah, it gives a little more. You hit it better. You roll across that turf, you're going to burn yourself up a little more. And so, yeah, I just was never a fan of the turf.
That's why you see the forearm tape on a lot of those guys.
Yep.
All right, back to the NFL. Chiefs Broncos tonight. Kansas City is a 10.5-point favorite and a 47 over under, and those are probably realistic kind of numbers. Sunday morning, get up early. Another London game. Chiefs are going to be over there before too long. But this
week, they're going to go to Germany though.
This week, the London game, Ravens Titans, and the Ravens broke my heart last week.
But we talked about it, right? I can't buy into Lamar, and especially the money they paid him. Here's the deal. I think he's a good quarterback, but they paid him elite quarterback money, and I think it's one of those things where if you're going to be paid elite money, you better score some points. And I get it, the Steelers are decent defense, but they're not a, you know, Orange Crush defense, you know, the Great Bears defense. I mean, they're not one of the elite defenses, if you will. You got to score some points against those teams. Ravens, Titans. Titans are really bad. I think the Ravens come away with this. I honestly think they'll win by more than the 4 points. And the over-under at 41, I think it's probably about right because I don't expect either team to score a whole lot.
Sunday's noon game is going to be led by the Seahawks at the Bengals.
There's not a whole lot of good football this weekend. I think when you start looking up and down the slate of it, you've got to just like pull for a game that has any kind of a draw to it. Seahawks-Bengals is an okay game. Cincinnati a 2.5-point favorite. I think the Seahawks win this thing because, again, I know Joe Burrow played much better last Sunday, but I still don't think he's 100%. And the Seahawks are kind of a sneaky good team out there in the NFC.
And Eagles are going to be at Jets at 3:25 Sunday. Again, they thought this was going to be a bigger marquee game at the beginning of the year than it's going to turn out to be. Eagles a 7-point favorite in that one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody thought the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, the defending national, you know, runner-up against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And it's not that, right? So the Jets are kind of falling apart a little bit. I think that has a chance to be a little closer than it should be.
Speaking of falling apart,
ooh.
Giants at Bills Sunday night.
Yeah, you drew an egg right there, okay? Because Giants at Bills, it's so bad that even the people in the desert expect Buffalo to win by 14, which is a huge spread in the NFL.
That's just
right.
Silly.
That's more of a college type spread.
Now you got Monday night with the Cowboys and the Chargers. You talk about two teams who have taken a turn south, and you know they're both struggling. Somebody's got to get a win. They both need one.
I think it's a backs against the wall type game. I think that the Cowboys and Chargers are both teams that really need a win in that ball game. I think that should be a really fun Monday night game. I'll actually tune into that Dallas 2.5-point favorite over under 51 because, again, I don't think either team right now can stop the other.
Looking at Saturday's NCAA games, how about the number 23, Kansas Jayhawks, on the road at Oklahoma State, an Oklahoma State team that had a big win last week. Now they're going to play another Kansas team this week, and KU's playing. They're playing pretty well.
Yeah, Oklahoma State was a 12.5-point dog against Kansas State last Friday night. Then they come away with a win. Now Kansas is going to travel to Stillwater and can't figure it out, especially with Jalen Daniels not playing and having Bean. KU a 3-point favorite, but again, when you run the ball as well as Kansas did the other day, they're going to be a tough team to beat because, again, run, 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 and then when you pass, all of a sudden it turns into those big plays. KU at Oklahoma State, I do think Kansas wins, and I think they probably cover that spread. They are just playing really good football right now.
Texas Tech is going to be hosting Kansas State, and T-Tech is a favorite.
Yeah, why did everybody, like, fall out of love with Kansas State all of a sudden? Like, I get it. They went to Stillwater. They laid an egg, but Stillwater is a place that Kansas State has not played well in Stillwater over the years. But to be a dog in Lubbock, I don't see that. I think Kansas State gets back on the winning track there.
Game with two national highly ranked teams, top 10 teams, has Oregon at Washington, the battle for the Great Northwest.
Does anybody care, right? Like, I mean, these are two teams that are headed to the Big Ten, as weird as that's going to sound. So, again, two teams that nobody cares about going to the Big Ten, which is a conference nobody cares about. Sounds about right, but, again, I like the Ducks, but go Huskies, I guess. You know, you can never bet against the Huskies.
And now a team that has defied all logic, all reason, all good sense, and, you know, anybody who ever coached Pee Wee football would have not done what Rick Sandoval did. And Miami is going to go to UNC. Miami's filed at 25. UNC, they're good. They're number 12, and they're playing pretty good ball, and yet I expect Miami to win.
Yeah, I expect Miami to house them, right? I do. I think that, you know, after Mario's answered questions all week about, you know, why didn't you kneel the ball? And The other day.
There was no answer for that.
They show the replay, and they're like, he's down. I don't care if he's down or not. You shouldn't have run the play. When it comes down to it, I think Miami's just a little fired up for this game because, again, they were playing really good football going into that, played badly for four quarters against Georgia Tech. I think, you know, Miami, don't even take the points. I think Miami wins this thing by a couple touchdowns.
Well, I tell you what, talk about fired up. We're fired up for a big weekend of football here on KARE Radio. Tomorrow night, it'll be Perry LeCompton at Atchison High. Join us for a 7 o'clock kickoff at Amelia Earhart Stadium. And then on Saturday, with a KARE pregame at 12:45 and a 1 o'clock kickoff, the Ravens at Central Methodist beginning conference divisional play. Hey, we got to thank our fantastic Sportlook sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, Taco John. Stick around. We've got Coach's Insight coming up next. And until we greet you from the football field Friday night, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.